Last week we started, 2 weeks ago we started the submission Aleph about Hoitzah. Last week we started the submission Ches about Muktzah. Rizik quotes the Gemara that the Muktzah is an Issa de Rabbanan and it's a Shvus of Hoitzah. The Chachamim were concerned that if we'll allow people to handle anything and everything in the house, then they're going to, they may forget and carry it out into the street. So it's Gzeira Shema Yotzi. The Rambam gives additional reasons, but the Ravid writes, this is the basic reason that it says in the Gemara. It's a Shvus Avoitzah. But if they would prohibit handling anything, can't handle a Sefer, can't handle any food, so how are you going to live on Shabbos? So, on Kisvi HaKodesh, or on Oichlim, they never made a Gzeira at all. That says in Shulchan Aruch. Then, there are four categories we mentioned with review of Bekitze. The Gemara has four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah, other Mekabel Tumah Mashkim, other Mekabel Tumah Mekabel Tumah from Anav HaTumah or higher, Avi Avois HaTumah, a mace, Avi Avois HaTumah, as opposed to Oichlim Mashkim, that are Mekabel Tumah even from Tolda, even from a Rishon can make a Cheni, Cheni can make a Shlishi, Tol Chamishi. In Chulin, you only have till Sheni, and Truma you have Shlishi, and Kochim you have till Revi Bakhadish, and Paraduma, the Rash quotes at Tasef, the Rash and Mishnah quotes at Tasef, the Paraduma you have, it goes down, Tuma goes down till Chamishi. So whatever belongs to these four categories, Odom, Mekele, Mochel, and Mashkim, this is a Dovish Yesh Bachashibas, that's why it's Mekabel Tuma, so that they whenever goes a Redin of Muktzah. It doesn't exactly correspond 100%. We explained there are certain kelim, klei glolim, klei avonim, klei adoma, not mekabel tumah. But still, since it's a kli, so it's not considered muktzah. Adam is mekabel tumah, only a Yisrael. Nachri is not mekabel tumah. But human beings are not considered muktzah. Ochlim and mashkim are only mekabel tumah if they're roi lachilos adam. If it's Michael Behemoth, then it's not Mekabel Tumah. But for the purposes of Muktzah, the Gemara said the Farish, if you have something that's only Michael Behemoth, it's not considered Muktzah. What if you have something borderline? Let's say, the Gemara talks about Grogus, it's a Mukim. People on the rooftop in order to dry out in the summertime and the heat and the sun in order to turn into raisins. So people enjoy raisins, people enjoy grapes. The intermediate stage sometimes is questionable. Some people will not enjoy eating the middle intermediate stage, some people will enjoy it. So then the Gemara says it depends on who the Balaam is. If the Bailim plans to eat it, then it's considered Oichel, and it's not considered Muktzah even for one who would not eat it. He would find it disgusting. No, because the Bailim, the one who owns it, enjoys eating this kind of food. And if the Bailim do not plan to eat it the way it is, so then it's then he makes it into Muktzah. Even if the owner does consider it Roi L'Achilas Adam, he would never eat it. Then it's considered mukti, even for the person who would eat it the way it is. And so too, let's say you have an old torn up suit. You have an old suit, torn, tattered and everything. So if it would be a wealthy person, he would throw it in the garbage. So even if he didn't throw it in the garbage yet, or if he threw it in the garbage, then it's considered shmata. So then it's not considered a kli. If you would have a poor man, the poor man would continue wearing the beggar. He can't afford to throw it out in the garbage. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara that Muktzah la'ashirim is considered Muktzah la'aniyim also. If the usher threw it in the garbage, or he plans to throw it out in the garbage, he's not gonna give it to the poor. He's going to throw it in the garbage. So he doesn't consider it a beggar. He doesn't consider it a kli. So it's a piece of junk. So a piece of junk, that's the ikar din of Muktzah. That's called Muktzah machmas gufa, Muktzah. Machmas Atzma, the Gemara gives Eitzim Avona Biofra. If you have twigs from the tree, or you have pebbles, stones, these are Muktzah. Offer, sin, it's not Odom Mekele Mochlem HaMashkim. So that's, money is considered Muktzah, not so much because money is used to purchase things, and there's an Issa Mekir HaMemkir on Shabbos. Mekir HaMemkir is a Gzeri Shema Yichtov. Maybe you'll write it down. No, money is Muktzah because it does belong to the four categories. Not Odom, it's not Kelim, it's not Ochlim, it's not Mashke. It's considered a Dov Hashem Bo Hishtamshus. If you put them, let's say if you have penny loafers, there used to be a shtick, maybe people still do it now. They have loafers, leather shoes, and there's a little spot in the tip of the shoe on top where you can put a coin. They used to have a shtick, they used to put a coin there. So once you put the coin into the shoe, then it blends and it becomes part of the shoe. So then it's ois muktzah. You don't say that the shoe is a basis of davar hasa because it has the penny in it. No, penny blends in. Well, let's say a person lives on the second floor and he draws water. He has a bucket, and a wooden bucket, and he throws the bucket into a well and he draws water and brings it up. But the wooden bucket is going to float on top of the water. So they used to put Evan Shebi Kirviyah. A Kirviyah is a bucket, Kuf Reish Vav Yud Hei. It's a Loshon HaMishnah. They would tie on a slab of stone on the bottom of the bucket. So when you lower the bucket on the heavy rope, you lower the bucket into the lake or into the well, the bucket will go below the surface of the water. It'll sink. If you don't put in the slab of stone on the bottom, it'll float on top, so you won't be able to get it filled up with water. So the Mishnah says, Evan should be cured of you if you tied on the slab of stone on the bottom of the wooden bucket, and so then it blends in to become part of the bucket. So it's ice Evan. It's no longer Eitzim Avonim Yofim. It becomes part of the Kli, so then it's no longer Muktzim. So the Gemara has this: if you have a borderline food, like Rogus with Tzimukim that were drying out on the rooftop, that some people would eat it in the intermediate stage, others might not eat it. Ike din shidachli, ike din shidaloyachli. So it's determined by the Bailam, by the owner. Does he feel that it's Roy Lachilo? So then it's not Muktzah. And if the Bailam would not eat it the way it is, then it's Muktzah for everybody. And the same by Begodim. If you have a Kli, you have a Beged, that a wealthy person would throw it in the garbage. It's a piece of junk. And a poor person would continue to wear it. So then it depends who the owner is. If the owner is an Oni, then it's not Muktzah. If the owner is an Ashir, and he threw it in the garbage, then it's considered Muktzah. Let's say if a person has a brand new suit, a wealthy man has a brand new suit, avarf tanum chen on the suit, he doesn't like it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the suit. It's not borderline. So then, the Gemara says, If a wealthy person throws his suit onto the garbage, he means to say it's going to become muktzah. So some Rishonim say over there, why doesn't it become muktzah? He threw it into the garbage. They say, it's a perfectly good suit. He only wears the suit once. There are some women, they wear a dress only once, and that's it. They don't want to wear it more than once. But there's nothing wrong with this, with the dress. It's perfectly okay. So then you say, but if you have a kli, a beggar that's borderline, you have an echad that's borderline, then the din is that it depends on the owner. What does he feel about this? The Gemara has a klal, we'll have to talk a lot about this. The Gemara has a klal with respect to muktzah. Whatever was muktzah ben ashmashas remains muktzah throughout the day. Migad is katzoyle ben ashmashas is katzoyle kuliyam, usually that is the klal. So let's say there's a dinner, basis le davar ha'asim. What is basis le davar ha'asim? It's Mishnah, it's like that. So the Gemara says, let's say, a man comes home from work on Friday, takes his wallet that has money in it. Money is muktzah machmas atzmai, like etzma banav yofer. And he puts the wallet in a certain drawer. And he wants to hide. He doesn't want to have the money exposed. He puts the money in a certain drawer. So that drawer becomes a basis. He just made that drawer. Let's say he puts it always on top of a certain table. So he wants the money to remain on that table. That becomes a basis of the davar ha'asim. So the Gemara says that it only becomes a basis if he's meniach, if he left it there planning to leave it there the whole Shabbos. That's what Tosfos says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. He plans to leave it kol haShabbos. If he's shocheach, he ran home late on Erev Shabbos and he's running to take a shower and he leaves his wallet over there. and didn't realize they may need the kli that's right beneath the wallet. So whenever it's shocheach, then it doesn't become a bus. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siman Shin Ches, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tosfos in Perek Hira, in the third Perek, that there's a klal in Aloch, Ein an amasa dovah she'ena shaloi. Let's say I come to your home, and I start worshipping television. I start worshipping a table or a chair. So the din is avodah zarah is also b'hanah. So if I deify someone else's, if I deify my own table, my own chair, so then it becomes also b'hanah. But if I start worshipping someone else's table, someone else's chair, even if I'm mishtachda and I offer karbanos in front of it, that's the klal ein an amasa dovah she'ena shaloi. If I shecht someone else's animal as tikrubis for avodah zarah, the krubis is also asabano. Avodah, there are four things. Avodah zarah is asabano. Noye avodah zarah, let's say you have a statue that people deify, a totem pole or something. And then they put on a necklace or they put on clothing. So noye avodah zarah become asabano. And tikrubis avodah zarah becomes asabano. And mishamshi avodah zarah, let's say this is the knife that in this base avodah zarah, they always use this knife to shecht the karbonis that they offer to the avodah zarah. But they always light candles and this candelabra and the shame avodah zarah as an avodah. So the candelabra is aser because of mishamshi avodah zarah. Those are the four things: avodah zarah, noya avodah zarah, mishamshi avodah zarah, and tikruvus avodah zarah. So let's say I'll shecht someone else's behemah in front of an avodah zarah. So you really should have said, "Hey, na namosa davish ena shalai." I shouldn't aser it. So that's a discussion in the Gemara Chul at the end of the second parak. Maybe I they meisen. Maybe only if I bow down to your television, I deify your table or your chair. I bow down, or I offer avodah zarah. I offer tikrubis to the deity. I declared your table as a deity. I worship it, and I bring karbonis to it. But I didn't touch the table. I didn't do a meisen to the table. So then the rule is that's how we pass. But if I'm shechting a behemoth, I'm shechting your behemoth in front of an avodah zarah, that's a recognized avodah zarah, then the Gemara has a discussion. Maybe I should say, oh, the mosad dovah she'ena shaloi, because it's halidei maisa. Because my act of tikrubis, I'm doing a pu'ula to the animal. I'm shechting it, so maybe then my kavanah does relay. So Tosfos in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis, I think, raises a question. I mean, if someone comes into my house and I'm cooking chicken and he pouring milk, you're going to say, ein an mosad dovah she'ena shaloi? It doesn't become bas b'chola. When I'm cooking kosher soup, someone pours in chazer shmatz, you're going to say, Eilam Masa Dovah She'ena Shaloi. Never heard of such a thing. The Tosfos says, no. The bas b'chola becomes treif, even if the milk fell in by itself. And in chazer shmatz makes the soup treif, even if it fell in by itself. You don't need any kavanas agavre. But by avodah zarah, it only becomes aser if you have kavanas agavre, the shame avodah zarah. So my machshavas and my kavanah can't relate to someone else's property. That's when you say ein on the masad dovah she'ena shaloi. So that's why Tosfos came up with this chiddush. He never says it in the Gemara, but Tosfos says it in the Shulchan Aruch, quotes it. No machlokes. If I put my wallet on someone else's table, someone else's chair, and I plan to leave it there the whole Shabbos, so then it doesn't your table doesn't become basas dovah haser. Because it only becomes buses, it only becomes mukze if it's meniach on purpose, and my machshava can't relate to your property. Let's say in the Mishnayos in Kalayim, there's a discussion. I have grapevines, and you're my next door neighbor, and you have tvua growing. And I cause the grapevines to grow right next to the tvua in such a way that it makes it. So there's a machlekes hatanaim. One tana says, "Ein on the masad dovah she'ena shaloi. I don't own the tvuah. You own the field that has the tvuah. I own the geffen. So my geffen cannot aser. My geffen can become aser because it's growing together with your tvuah. But your tvuah cannot become aser because ein on the masad dovah she'ena shaloi. One tana holds like that. There's room to argue the point and say, no, it's ayidei maisa. It was misacha gafna gabi tvuah shavu. Did it on purpose." So Tosfos explains, the Rashi explains there on Mishnayos, and Tosfos explains, what does it have to do with Eina Masad Dovah She'ena Shaloi? The whole idea of Eina Masad Dovah She'ena Shaloi is only when you need Machshava Sagavra. The Tosfos says, yes, the Mishnayos say that the Kloi HaKerem only becomes also if Nisiyai Shemen of Aloi Godra, if the fence fell down, I have a vineyard with grapes growing on you or the next door neighbor, you have tefillah growing and there's a fence in between. So if the fence falls down in between, and I plan to fix it, even if Hosef Masayim, even if it grew a lot, before I had a chance to fix it, it doesn't become Kaloi Haker. But if I say, I don't care, and the Shai Shemen, I don't care, let it become Kaman, then it becomes us. So that's what the Rash, Mishnayis explained, the Rash is from the Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, to the Balei HaTos explained, because by Kalayin, Kavanas Agaba does play a role. So that's why you have the Klal of Enan Amosa Dovashen Shalom. So the Gemara has a din that a buses of the Dabar Haaser is also Muktzah. It's also considered Muktzah. Even if it was only a buses of the Dabar Haaser Ben Ashmashes, let's say I left money in on this tray on Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos somehow somebody took off the money. It's no longer a buses, but since it was a buses Ben Ashmashes, that's when we have the cloud. Nigudis katzoyle ben ashmashes. If something was mukta ben ashmashes, is katzoyle kuliyam. It remains mukta for the rest of the day also. That was a big question. What kind of a din is that? What is that based on? Usually called the tikkun rabbanakei deraisa tikkun. So why should there be a din that mukta depends on tchilas hayom ben ashmashes? So that was Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over this idea from the Avnei Nezer. This was a big machlokes between Sochatshava Rebbe and Chechanava Rebbe. Sochatshava Rebbe was the author of the Avnei Nezer, and one of his talmidim was the Kozhik Lover. The Kozhik Lover was a rabbi in Kozhik Lover before the First World War. And then after the First World War, they destroyed a lot of the city. And then Rabbi Meir Shapira founded the Lublini Yeshiva. He invited this Kozhik Lover to become the Rosh Yeshiva. So he gave the highest shir in the Lublini Yeshiva. So he has a sefer. What's the name of the sefer? Eretz Tzvi. His name is Tzvi Frama. So he has a sefer Eretz Tzvi. So he learned by the Sochatshava Rebbe. So he writes about this dispute between the Sochatshava Rebbe and the Chechanava Rebbe. What is the Oyser Rab Shabbos? So the Chechanava Rebbe held. Chechanava, I think, is the one who wrote the Siddur Tzlusa Davram. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. So he was of the opinion that every moment of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayom, and every moment has Kedushas Hayom, so Asas ben Malacha. And the Sochat Shaver held, Avnei Nezer held, it's not that every moment has Kedushas Hayom. The Oyser, on the level of the Raisa, is the experiencing of Tchilas Hayom of Shabbos. Knisas HaShabbos ben HaShmashas of Tchilas HaShabbos is the Oyser of Shabbos. And Ben Hashmashes of Sof Shabbos is the Matter. Then Shabbos is over. It's not that every minute has Kedushas Hayom. On the level of the Raisa, the Knesis Hayom, the Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Shabbos is the Oyser. And called the Tikkun Rabbanakei and the Raisa Tikkun. That's why there's a din of Migdal Katzoy. Whatever object had the status of Muktzah, Ben Hashmashes, let's say Ben Hashmashes, it was Zeitz Ma'abana the offer, then someone made it into a Kli. On Shabbos, someone made it into a table. It was eitzim. It was just logs of wood. It wasn't a kli. And then in the middle of Shabbos, they made it into a kli. So since Migdus Katzoy the Ben Hashmashes, since Ben Hashmashes, it was Muktzah Machmas Gufoy, it remains Muktzah throughout the remainder of Shabbos, because that's called the Tikkun Rabbanakei and the Raisa Tikkun on the level of the Raisa. That's the din. The Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas Shabbos is the Oyser. So the Kozhik Lover writes this up in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi. And he points out, if you look in the Rosh, in the end of Maseches Maikotin, this is an explicit machloikas between the Maharam Rutenberg and the Rosh. The exact same machloikas that was between the Sochatshava Rebbe and the Chechanava Rebbe was a machloikas a few centuries earlier between the Rosh and the Maharam Rutenberg. They discussed the Shaila. We must have discussed it before. Just to review briefly, in the days of the Gaonim, there was a machlokes. A child before bar mitzvah loses a relative. A parent dies, a sibling dies. Is there a din of chinuch on aveilus? Usually there's a din of chinuch for ktanim, for mitzvahs deraisa, for mitzvahs rabban, even for minhagim. The Gemara says that Petropis has to buy hoshinus for the cotton, that he should clap arabis on Hoshana Rabbah. See, that's only a minute. So you see from the Gemara that there's a din of chinuch for ketana before bar mitzvah. A mitzvah is the rice, a mitzvah is the rabbanon. and Minhagim as well. So there was a machlokes in the days of the Gaon, and what about Avelus? So the Psak HaMekubal in the Shulchan Aruch is that there's no chinuch for Avelus. But let's say a child is a week before his bar mitzvah, and a relative dies. So the din is he doesn't have to sit shiva. But then it becomes a godel. It could be, it's unclear what the reason is. Why is it? Rav Moshe Pasha has a whole tshuva. He tries to ascertain what's the reason. It could be that the reason why is because a cotton, al pidin is a lab bar das, even though the cotton is a super genius. Vilna Gaon was a bigger genius at the age of bar mitzvah than many adults who were much older than bar mitzvah. But al pidin, a cotton is considered a lab bar das. And the din is that avelus only begins when you have yedias ha-misa. Because when you don't have idea, there's a shmur kreiv and there's a shmur rechayka. If the person finds out within 30 days of the misa that a relative died, then he observes shiva shloshim. If he finds out shmur kreiv, if he finds out after 30 days passed away already, 30 days passed by since the misa, that's called shmur rechayka, and the hegas aliyam echad bilva. He only observes avilus one day. He doesn't observe shiva, doesn't observe shloshim. So that's the din, that the mechayiv of avilus is the yedias avilus. There are a few dinim where the idea is one of the conditions of the niyug of the halacha. Safek orla b'chutz l'orts is muta, even though orla b'chutz l'orts halacha l'moshim is Sinai. In Chumash, the Torah says, kisuvay el ho'etz and etatim kol etz meichel, ba'araltam arlosa, orla is only in Eretz Yisrael. Orla b'chutz l'orts, we assume, is halacha, the machloik is, what is the Rabbanan, halacha l'moshim is Sinai. So we assume it's halacha l'moshim is Sinai. But the Gemara says, kach nemra halacha, that's part of the halacha l'moshim is Sinai, is that Safek orla b'chutz l'orts is mutam. Any other pashta, the Ramban says, maybe the Ramban disagrees, but the Ramban says, any other safek, Allah al-Mashim is seen as a safek, the Raisa l'chumra. Orla is the one exception to the rule. So why is it an exception to the rule? Because in orla b'chutz l'orts, the idiyas ha-orla, my awareness of the fact that this pre-grew within the first 3 years, my awareness of the fact is one of the conditions of the niyug of the halacha. So the Gemara says, therefore, let's say, I have orla b'chutz l'orts. I invite you to come to my home. I'll give you the treifa orla. But as long, whatever you don't know, won't hurt you. If I give you chazatei, I'll be in violation of lifnei iver. If I give you treifas midirabbanan, chicken cooked in milk, that's lifnei iver. On basa b'chala d'rabbanan, it's also lifnei iver. But if I give you orla b'chutz l'orts, even though it's a din d'raisa, since you dias, the knowledge, the awareness, that the thing is orla is a prerequisite in the niyog of the halacha. So if you don't know that it's orla, so there's nothing wrong. Same thing, mamzer, safik mamzer is mutam in atayra. Why? Because yedias hamamzeris is a condition in the niyog of the isa mamzer. So if you have a person who's a mamzer, sheni adua, I know that this person is a mamzer, nobody else knows. It's not public knowledge. And the person himself doesn't know what the facts are. He doesn't know that his mother was previously married and she never got a get, and she had a child with a different person. The person doesn't realize that he's a mamzer. So Rachana Vassman has a whole essay. I can bet the shidduch with that person with the other one, and I can be misadi kedushin for them. And there's no violation of lifnei iver, because since it's not public knowledge and they don't know personally, they don't know. So a safik mamzer is mutam an atara. With the rabbanon shtukiv asufis is safik mamzer. With the rabbanon safik mamzer is aser. Because there were machmer that yediyah safik is also shma yediyah, but if it's no yediyah at all, the Gemara says once it's not public knowledge that the person is a mamzer, so they said there's always a mamzer, there's always a at all. The risky thing, I can read the mashiach, they'll get married after having 5 children, then they'll discover that he was a mamzer, they'll have to get divorced, then all the 5 children will be mamzerim. So it's a risky thing to read such a shidduch, because they may discover later the secret that at the time that they got married was not known, and later on they'll find out. So it's not such a smart idea. But strictly speaking, that's the halacha.
Rav Schechter, the Safek Shavra and the Shechter number, could we ask what happens if a child becomes bar mitzvah midaraisa in the middle of Shabbos, so the Shteis Haris in the middle of Shabbos?
Right.
Is he obligated to observe Shabbos for the rest of that Shabbos? If he is, then the Chachanover is right. If he's not, then the Sakachover is right. No.
Right, exactly. So there's a Beferish Gemara in Yevamos that says that a cotton shehidil, in the middle of Shabbos is obligated to observe the remainder of Shabbos. So does that pose a problem or not? So the Maram Rutmerk says there's a problem here. Why does the child have to observe the remainder of Shabbos? Ben Ashmoshes, he was a cotton, and the Mechayev to observe Shabbos on the level of the Raisa is the experiencing of the Ben Ashmoshes at the beginning of Shabbos. So the Maharam Rutenberg is bothered with this question, because it's a Beferish Gemara in Yevamos and the Lamed, that the Kodesh Shehigdil in the middle of Shabbos is obligated ben HaTorah, not ben Rabbah, obligated ben HaTorah to observe the remainder of Shabbos ben HaTorah. So the Maharam Rutenberg answers, Ein Dicha Yetzal Mitzvahs. He was Jewish when Shabbos entered. He was just a kotten. So the Ben Ashmoshes of Shabbos was not Mechayet and B'shaitim. But the Ben Ashmoshes, since he was Jewish, so the Ben Ashmoshes is Mechayet in Avul Yachazman. So therefore, if and when he becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, Ben Ashmoshes of Tchila Shabbos is Mechayet in for later. So based on that, the Maharam Rutmer comes up with this Chiddush. If you have a kotten, he's a week or two before his bar mitzvah, and a relative dies, and he doesn't have to observe Shiva. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, if he doesn't feel bad about the death of the relative, if it's a parent who died and is 2 weeks before bar mitzvah, he probably wants to cry a little bit. So he won't want to go to school, he won't want to go to cheder. But if it's an older sibling that he never knew, the sibling was married before he was even born, and they moved away to Eretz Yisrael, so he doesn't even know that person. So then he may not want to sit shiva. Say, not mechuyev to. There's no din of chinuch and avelus. So the question is, but then it becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of shloshim. So then it becomes a bar das. So should I say that that's called the shmor kreiva? Should I say it's called the shmor kreiva? Or not? So the Maharam Rutenberg says that just like bein hashmoshes of tchila Shabbos, ki min mechayev de kotten in the middle of Shabbos, after he becomes a bottle, so too, what's Mechayv in Avela? So the Gemara says, Stimas Hagolo, the Gemara of the Kavura. If you plant, Stimas Hagolo means you finish burying the mace and you filled up the cavity with offer and then you put the matzeva on top. That's what some Shainim learn. You put a matzeva on top. If you don't plant, put the matzeva on top. So whatever you plant to finish today, Stimas Hagolo means you finish filling in the grave. So the Gemara of the Kvura is Mechayv ben Avin. So if the Gemara of the Kvura occurred when the child was before Bar Mitzvah, it's not Mechayv him. That's how we pass like that opinion from the days of the Goyim, that there's no Chinuch on Avelus. But the Maharam Rutmerk says, if he finds out later, in the middle of Shloshim, then the Stimas HaGolul is Mechayv him Abu Liachazman, and he's Mechayv to observe Shiva Shloshim later. The Rosh disagrees. And he says he doesn't understand how can you bring a raya from the din of Shabbos. He doesn't see what the problem was in the first place. He says every moment of Shabbos has a kedushas hayom, and every moment is mechayev you the isa malocha. So true, the child was a kotten the first half of Shabbos, but then the second half of Shabbos he became bar mitzvah, was hevi shtei saris in the middle of Shabbos. So since he became a godel later, so that the second half of Shabbos. As Kedushas Hayam, that's Mechayv you to observe Shabbos. But here, the Stimas HaGolul is Mechayv. Stimas HaGolul at the time of the Gemar HaKvura, the child was a cotton. So if it's not Mechayv in them, so it's not Mechayv in later. Why should you say that such a concept as a Mechayv Lachazman? Mechayv occurred now, but even though it's not Chal, the Chiv is not Chal now, Chiv is Chal later. So the Kosher Glava points out that this Machloik is between the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, the Abdi Nezi, he himself learned by the Sochet Sheva. The machlokes in the Sochet Shaver and the Shechen Aver Rebbe is really machlokes Maharam Rutenberg and the Rosh. The Rosh holds like the Shechen Aver Rebbe that every moment of Shabbos has a kedushas hayom and that's mechayev to observe isa malocha. Masheni kein the Maharam Rutenberg assumed not so that the mechayev of Shmira Shabbos is the tchilas haShabbos ben hashmoshes of tchilas haShabbos. What might possibly be an afkamina ledina between? So the Kosher Glava has in his Truva in Eretz Tzvi, he says, let's say a person was on a boat in the international dateline, is in the middle of the Pacific. So let's say the Jewish person was on a boat on Friday afternoon, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the boat floats to the is going to the west, and it crosses over the dateline. It becomes all of a sudden in 2 minutes. It becomes Shabbos afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But the Jewish person on the boat never experienced the Hashmash of Tchilas HaShabbos, where he was first, it was Friday afternoon, so there was no Beirash Moshe of Knesset HaShabbos. Then the boat goes to the west, it becomes Shabbos afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he never experienced Beirash Moshe of Knesset HaShabbos. So he thinks that this should be a Chapa Nafkamina between the Sochet Shavu Rebbe with the Chechen of a Rebbe. Will he be obligated to observe the remainder of Shabbos min HaTorah or only mid the Rabbanon? A cotton sheigdil in the middle of Shabbos experienced being Hashmash of Tchilo Shabbos. So the Maram Rutmerk says that ein diche eitz on mitzvahs, the Ben Hashmash that you experienced not can be mechayev you avu liachazman. But over here, he didn't experience any Ben Hashmash. It could be that he's only, according to the Sochet Shabbos, one is only obligated to observe the remainder of Shabbos mid the Rabbanon in that case. If the boat went crossed over the date line from the east to the west in the middle of Friday afternoon, it became Shabbos afternoon. So Rav Soloveitchik liked that very much. He explained a lot of Gemaras based on this premise of the Sochet Shabbos, and he thought that that was the pshat in the Gemara. You have dinim, not only migudis katzor de ben hashmashes is katzor lekul yomer. That's lechumre. You have dinim lekula also. You have halachas Shabbos hol behutra hutra. So let's say you made in a rubichatzeris to be allowed to carry in a chotzer, and then in the middle of Shabbos the box of matzahs was eaten up. So as long as the box of matzahs was there, the Ben HaShmashes is good. Let's made an Eruv Tchumen to go chutz l'tchum. Eruv Tchumen is Kayam Ben HaShmashes, and then it's eaten up on Leil Shabbos. So you still have the Tchum Shabbos of Ben HaShmashes. You can Shvisa Ben HaShmashes, and that's Kaveah. Ben HaShmashes is Kaveah for the rest of the day. And it's Kaveah L'Hakel also. The Gemara has, let's say a person is very poor, and he has this old torn tattered suit, but he has no choice, so he wears this suit. Then in the middle of Shabbos, he finds out that he just won a big lottery ticket, millions of dollars, he's a multimillionaire. So he takes the suits that he has in the closet, the Shabbos dikka suit is not bad, he's still wearing the Shabbos dikka suit, but all the weekday suits that are torn and dirty and everything, he takes them all, he throws them in the garbage. So the Gemara says, it doesn't become muktzah. Because in the middle of Shabbos it was not muktzah. So we say Shabbos hol behutra hutra, since in the beginning of Shabbos he was the Balaam. Beginning of Shabbos he was a poor man and he would not throw out the suits. Middle of Shabbos he became wealthy and he threw out the suits. Zorakat leglime la'ashpa, he throws his suits in the garbage on Shabbos. If I have, let's say, a glass bottle and it smashes into little pieces in the middle of Shabbos, so in the beginning of Shabbos it was a kli. Now it's a Sheva Kli, so that's Muktzah. If you have a Kli that breaks, then it's Muktzah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there's an Issa Tilta, you're not allowed to handle Muktzah. But let's say, Grada Lest, just this past Shabbos, we were visiting by someone in the house, and there were beautiful glasses on the table, very thin glasses, and one of the glasses smashed, and the water spilled all over the tablecloth, and there were broken pieces of glass all over the place. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, because of a Chashash Hezik, someone's going to cut themselves, so you're permitted to be metalta mukta. But the smashed glass bottle that broke into little pieces, now it's a shevikli, it has no hishtamshus at all, it's junk, absolutely junk. So that's mukta, that's eitzman v'anaviyava, that's real mukta, because it changed. You can't say, Shabbos hol behutra hutra, since in the beginning of Shabbos it was a mukta, it doesn't become mukta now either. No, it's a different chepta now. Before it was a kli, now it's not a kli. There we're talking the case, the same suit, that in the beginning of Shabbos, he was a poor man, and he would not throw out the suit. That's the best he can do, so he's going to wear it. Then in the middle of Shabbos, he finds out that he just became a multimillionaire, so he takes all the old suits and he throws them in the garbage now. So now the exact same suit that it was in the beginning of Shabbos, now it's in the middle of Shabbos. Then we say, Shabbos hol behutra hutra. That's how the Rishonim say. And that Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos. If it's the same chefzit that it was in the beginning of Shabbos, just that his attitude changes, so then it does become muktzah. Or the same thing, you have dinim, if you have a few boats, can you make an eruv to carry from one boat to the other? So you can only make an eruv to carry from one rishus hayachid to the other. Let's say if you have an apartment building, and you have different apartments, and each family lives in a different apartment, so you put away a box of matzahs, everybody owns a shutfus and box of matzahs, that's an eruv v'chatzeris. You can't make an Eruv HaTzeres from the people on one side of the street with the people on the other side of the street. The Rishulis HaYochid are not contiguous. They have to be touching each other. If there's a street mafsik in between, and the Erev is not going to include the street, so you can't have an Erev from across the street. So what if you have three boats? So the din is, if the boats are tied together in the beginning of Shabbos, Ben HaShemash, and you made an Eruv HaTzeres, to combine together all the three boats, is Mutter, is considered one big Rishulis HaYochid. What if they aren't tied and they're no longer combined together? So then the Gemara said, they're still Mutter. Since in the beginning of Shabbos, Shabbos Hol B'Hutra Hutra. If you have walls around the Rishulis HaYochid, if you have walls around an area, and then in the middle of Shabbos they came with dynamite and they knocked down the walls, there's no longer a Rishulis HaYochid. So you can't say Shabbos Hol B'Hutra Hutra. The Mechitzas fell down. But if the Mechitzas didn't fall down, just that box of matzahs was eaten up, or the boats were untied and they're no longer connected, and if it would have been Erev Shabbos like that, the boats wouldn't be tied together. It wouldn't be a legitimate Eruv HaTzeres. But now each boat is a Rishulis HaYochid, just that they're far away from each other. So then the Gemara says, Shabbos Hol B'Hutra Hutra. So why does everything depend? Well, the dinim are on the level of the Rabbanim. Why does everything depend on Ben HaShemash? So that's what the Avnei Nezer assumes, because that's called the Tikkun Rabbanim, and the Raisa Tikkun, that's on the level of the Raisa, that's the din. Anyway, so that's the din here by Muktzah. If something was a basis l'avahas in the beginning of Shabbos, if I plan to leave, let's say I left money on a plate, I plan to leave the money the whole Shabbos, so the plate became, and it's my plate, it belongs to me, if it doesn't belong to me, but if it's my plate, and I plan to leave the money there the whole Shabbos, not that someone's going to come and I owe money to the babysitter, babysitter's going to come on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that also, just there's a din, Piran HaChayiv is not permissible, Midirabban, Zereshem HaYichtov. So let's say I have a Goyish babysitter, and I never paid her money, and she wants to come on Friday night to Shabbos to pick up the money. So I leave the money in a drawer, and when she comes to the house, I'll say, the money's in the drawer, if you want, you can take it. So that's not proper, that's not permissible, because it's not permissible to do Piran HaChayiv. It's Gzer HaDirabban. You're not permitted to do Piran HaChayiv on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a Mishnah in Shabbos, Gzer HaShem HaYichtov. Rav Soloveitchik raised the possibility that maybe if it's a Chiyuv Knas, that's if it's a chiyuv mamon. That's a ayos chiras poilim to the babysitter. What if I stole and I have to pay kefal dalad behay? Oynis and mafata moitzishem, I have to pay knas. So knas is an oynish for something that I did that was improper. So there's room to say that Rambam seems to hold that there's a separate issa shalol la'anish b'shabbos. You're not allowed to punish someone. So the Rambam talks about Misa or Malkus, and Achrein Maran put someone a Cherem. You're not permitted to put someone a Cherem on Shabbos, and even though you're not doing any Malacha, you're not allowed to demonish someone. The Rambam understood that that's Pshat. The Gemara says, Lo Savaresh B'chol Moshe Sechem, B'yam Hashem. What does mean B'chol Moshe Sechem? Even in Chutz Lortz, that the Malacha, the Yisa Malacha applies even in Chutz Lortz. So the Gemara says, of course, you don't need a pasuk to say b'chol moshe v'sechem. It's a chayvus aguf, chayvus karka. Agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but a chayvus aguf applies in the whole world, the whole wide world. So why do you need b'chol moshe v'sechem? So the Gemara interprets b'chol moshe v'sechem means even Moshe Bezin, that even though that one could have built up a case to argue the point to say that it should be permissible to give anish mises bezin on Shabbos. The Gemara makes a whole kavachimer, so the pasuk says you're not allowed to. Lo svarish b'chol moshe sechem. Skila sreifa herik chenek. So sreifa is one of the arba mises bezin. So lo svaro eish doesn't go on stam smoking the cigar. Goes you're not bezin is not allowed to administer mises bezin of sreifa b'shabbos, despite the fact that there's a kavachimer. Why? So the Rambam seems to hold that the kavachimer is correct. Mitam malach, it's really muta, and it's a separate issue. It's a separate love. The Rambam counts it as two different love. One love in the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchus Shabbos, he lists off how many mitzvahs in every section in the Rambam. Hilchus Kriyashma, Hilchus Tefillah, Hilchus Shabbos, he always lists off how many mitzvahs from the Taryag mitzvahs will be covered in this section. So the Rambam counts it as two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah not to do Malacha b'Shabbos, the other mitzvah Shalol ha'anish b'Shabbos, because of the Pasuk, Lo Sivaresh b'chol moshe v'sechem. So the Magen Avraham asks, there was a Havamin, I would have thought incorrectly, I would have thought based on a Kal V'chomer that it should be permissible to administer mises bezman Shabbos. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to. So it's an isa malacha. So why does he count it as a separate love? It's the same old love, not to do malacha on Shabbos. Why does he count it as two love? So the Rambam said, Rav Soloveitchik said, over from the Avnei Nezer, from other gedolim like this, from recent gedolim, they all say the same. Rav Mendel Kasha has a long piece on this, and he put out a sefer, Arama Hamachilta de Rajbi. So he has a long essay on this, particularly quotes the Avnei Nezer and others have this idea, that the Rambam understood the Kal V'chomer is correct. And Misa's Bez merely is Deicha Shabbos. And if Bezim would administer the Misa on Shabbos, they will not be in violation of Malecha Shabbos. They won't be Chayv Koros for Chilu Shabbos. But it's prohibited because Shalom L'Hamish B'Shabbos. So the Achronim say not only the Rambam has Malkus in Misa, so Achronim add on Chayrim, that you're not allowed to put somebody in Chayrim on Shabbos Yantav. That's also an Einash Aguf. Rav Soloveitchik raised the possibility maybe if Bezdin will force a person to pay knas, that's an oynish. It's not an oynish aguf. It's not like cherem is a curse that the fellow should drop dead. So that's an oynish to the guf. He should drop dead. And when he dies, nishan meis beniduyah, if someone dies and he's a cherem, so the din is that we treat him like haruge Bezdin, and the relatives don't observe abelus. And Sotom Misaroni put a slab of stone on top of the arim before you bury him to demonstrate that he deserved to get skilo. So cherem is an einish aguf. You're cursing him that he should drop dead. And malchus and misa, that's an einish aguf. Maybe paying knas is an einish, but it's not an einish aguf. It's an einish mammon. So absolutely, wasn't sure. According to this shita saraman, that there's a separate issue. Shalom l'hanish b'shabbos. Maybe Bezdin would force the person to pay knas on Shabbos. And maybe not only would he be in, not only would it be a violation of the din of Tilta Muktzah to handle the money, not only a violation of the Yisid the Rabbanon, not to do Piran Achayv on Shabbos Gzeri Shem Yichto, he was mistopping, maybe it'll be an Yisid the Raisa of being managed for Shabbos, even though it's not an Einish Aguf. So this is perhaps the reason that Rav Soloveitchik liked this Pshat from the Avnei Nezer.
If the grapes, for example, were in their middle stage.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of Shabbos. And then in the middle of Shabbos, they became Tzimukim. Would they be eaten?
We have to learn the Gemara. The Gemara talks about if in the beginning of Shabbos I knew that it was going to straighten out, so then maybe since it's going to happen by itself, so maybe it won't. I think the din is that it is Muktzah. If in the beginning of Shabbos it was edible as grapes, and then it came a period of time that it was not edible, I didn't like, and then a few hours later it became edible again. So that's a discussion in the Gemara where the Yesh Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, Rein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, this din of Migdis Katzoyle Bein Hashmashes is Katzoyle Kol Yom, doesn't mean only Bein Hashmashes. Whatever was Muktzah B'Tchilas Hayom, B'Knisas HaShabbos, remains Muktzah for the rest of the day. What if Ben Hashmash is it was plain grapes? And then in the middle of the day, Shabbos morning, the sun is beating down and it became inedible. And the Balim would not eat it. So at that time it was Muktzah, because it was borderline food and he didn't consider it food. And then towards the end of the day, they live in the Sahara Desert. The sun is beating down so hot. So at first it became inedible, then it became edible again. So then you don't say, Migadis Katsoy, Emtsahayom, this Katsoy, the Pilyam. Migdis Katzai is only from Chilas HaShabbos on. Why? So that's Rav Soloveitchik thought like this Avnei Nezer, because that's called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Raisa Tikkun. On the level of the Raisa, that's the Din. Last week we were discussing that Netziv raises an issue. When were these laws of Muktzah introduced? So on the one hand, the Gemara has an Agarita in Perek Lama Madlikin that Dovra Melech died on Shabbos, and he was Mutal Bechama, and his son Shlomo HaMelech asked the Chachamim, what can he do? A mace, Adam, is not one of the four categories. Adam became a Mokham Mamash. Once the person dies, the dead body is a piece of junk, so it's Muktzah Mamash, Muktzah Mamash. You're not allowed to handle it. So the father was Mutal Bechama, and Mutal Bechama, the mace is going to disintegrate, going to smell even worse than otherwise. So he asked, is there any way he can move the father into the shade? So the Chachamim told him, use a kikaretinek. That's the head. So then the Gemara has a discussion. later on in Shabbos, Kufman Besa, something like Kufman Besa and Bes. So the Gemara says, we paskin le'omu kikaretina kala le'meis bovat. It doesn't work for any other kind of muktzah. This heter, kikaretina, that if you put a little baby or you put a loaf of bread on top of the mace and you're carrying them both together, so then since the kikaretina is not muktzah, so you're allowed to carry both together even though the mace is muktzah. So that's only a kula by mace bovat because of kavod ha'meis. Kavod ha'meis. It doesn't apply to any other muktzah. So that Gemara Kikaretinik seems to imply that the laws of Muktzah already existed in the days of David HaMelech, before David HaMelech died. Then the other Gemara in Perek Kol HaKelim talks about the other prohibitions. Not only is there a din of Issa Tiltal Muktzah, there's an Issa Tiltal Kelim. There's an Issa, there's a Klisha Malachta Leheter, that's a table and a chair. We may modify it later. Let's say have a table and a chair is a Klisha Malachta Leheter. Then you have Klisha Malach Tali, so you have a hammer and a screwdriver usually used to bang nails in or to take out nails. That's Malach Bona, Soser, real Malach Pen, a pencil is a Klisha Malach Tali. It's not Muktzah, it's a Kli, but it's a Klisha Malach Tali. So that you're not allowed to be. And then there's a third category. What if it's, you see, a hammer or a screwdriver? Most of the time the hammer is used to bang nails. Once in a while you use the hammer to bang a pickle jar to get the pickles out. That's Roy Malach Talis, the main Hishtamshus. Let's say the main Hishtamshus of a pen or a pencil is to write with it. Once in a while, you use a pencil to hold a place in a sefer or to prop something up or something like that. But a pen and a pencil is Klisha Malach Talis, Roy Malach Talis, Miut Malach Talaheta. What if you have a Kli that's called Malach Talis? So these are three different categories, Klisha Malach Talaheta, Klisha Malach Talisa, Roy Malach Talisa, Klisha Kol Malach Talisa. So the Gemara says, "Bimei Nechemi Ben Chakalia Nishnas Mishnazu." That's the Gemara in Kol HaKelim, that the pasuk says in Ezra Nechemia, when they came back from Golas Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, the people were doing all kinds of malachas. They were violating Shabbos, business as usual. They were doing all the malachas. They introduced a lot of chumras in order to get the people to be more observant. You see, today, if you're dealing with non-observant people, they're not interested in being observant. That's not going to help. You're going to make more chumras. They'll run further away. But if you're talking about people who are religiously inclined, they want to keep mitzvahs, but they're amaratzim, they don't know the dinim. So then, like Rav came to Bavel. Rav came to Bavel, so the Gemara has a lesson. Bika matzah begada baged. It was the Wild West. The people were violating the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha. They didn't know anything. So Rav introduced a ton of chumris. And then, as the people got to be more observant, so they took off the chumris. Why did it help to introduce chumris? Because they were religiously inclined. They did want to observe the mitzvah, but they're amei ha'aretz. They didn't know the dinim. So if you make a lot of siyogim, a lot of harchokis, then they'll get to observe the mitzvahs better. If you're dealing with people who are not interested in being observant, that's not going to be a chokhmah to tell them more chumras. You have to go menakala lakavit to go first to convince them to observe easier mitzvahs, then you go to the more difficult mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, in the days of Nechemia ben Chakalia, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael from Golas Bavel, they were violating Shabbos, and they made a lot of chumras to get the people to be more observant. Then as the years went on, hitiru, v'chazru, v'hitiru. They saw it's not necessary to have so many chumras. The people are already more knowledgeable, more observant. So as it remains now, so the din is a klisha malach d'leheter, let's say a table and a chair. You're permitted to move the tzorach gufoy, if I want to sit in a chair. Tzorach mekoma, the chair is in the way. I want to put another table over here. Chair, I'm allowed to move it out of the way. Or mechama letzel, I'm afraid the chair is going to get ruined. Let's say it's raining or something. So I have an Erev here. So I want to. It's raining over here. I want to move the chair inside the house. So there's no iser haitzah, but there's an iser tiltal kelim. But I don't want the chair. It's a wooden chair. It's going to get ruined if I leave it in the rain. So tiltal klisha malach talahet is muta v'sar gufay. If I want to use it, it's tzorach makom, if it's in the way, or melacham aletzel, to protect it. Fine. But let's say shalot tzorach klal, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be metaltim. That's what we mentioned last week, I think, that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to take off on the shulchan, they had two piles of lechem upon him, six sheish amareches, two piles, each one had six lechem upon him, and all week long they had these on shelves, so they shouldn't be sitting on top of each other, shouldn't become moldy. But on Erev Shabbos, they took them off of the shelves, because the only way to take them off the shelf and to put on the new lechem upon him on Shabbos is by handling the shelves, and the shelf is a klish malach de leheter, but they considered that tiltal klish alol etzara klal. So they took off all the lechem aponims on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos morning they took off the lechem aponims from the shelves, and then on Shabbos morning they put on the new lechem aponim. So from 6 o'clock in the evening till 7 in the morning, the lechem aponim is not going to get moldy. Then they put on the new lechem aponim in the morning, not on the shelves. So from 8 in the morning till Motzei Shabbos, till 8 o'clock, Motzei Shabbos, whatever, it's not going to get moldy either. So they consider that tiltal klisha malach dalahet to shalot et zarech klam. So you're not allowed to handle klisha malach dalahet to shalot et zarech klam. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to tell over the incident that he was once visiting by a family, and the father was playing with the forks and the knives on the table, just out of nerves, or twiddling the cup in front of him. He had a cup, and just shalot et zarech klam. If you pick up the cup because you want to drink something and then you want to put it down, that's tiltal klisha malach talahetah letzorach. But he was just fidgeting with it in between one course and the meal and the other as he was carrying out a conversation. Rabbi Soloveitchik told him that you're not allowed to do that. That's considered tiltal klisha malach talahetah shalol letzorach klal. I saw Rabbi Nevin Zalman, his Haoris on the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held not so. That he said that if people are fidgeting, and they're nervous, and this somehow keeps them entertained, and they have something to do, so then that's considered a tzorach. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not sufficient tzorach. The Gemara says that the snifim on the shulchan were tiltal shalol letzorach klal. Even though there is a tzorach, you don't want the food to get spoiled, you don't want the lechem b'ponim to get moldy, so you want to have it on the shelves. So the Gemara considers that insufficient tzorach. So this should lechara, that's a Rav Soloveitchik argument, this is, should also be, just because he's fidgeting, this should be considered insufficient tzorach. Now, Kalpanim said, that's a din of klisha malach de leheter. He permitted to move it to 3 heterim. Yitiru b'chazvi, yitiru b'chazvi, yitiru. They allow you to handle a klisha malach de leheter, that's a gufay, if you want to eat with the fork, or you want to use the chair or the table. The tzorach makom, if it's in the way, you want to get it out of the way. Or mechama itself to protect it. Klisha malach de leiser, let's say you have a pen or pencil on the table, you have a hammer or a screwdriver on the table. So if you need the hammer or the screwdriver to open up a jar of pickles or something, that's letzorach gufo. What if the hammer is in the way? They didn't set the table on Erev Shabbos, then comes Friday night. You have a hammer and a screwdriver and a pen and a pencil, and you want to put the plates on the table. Everything is in the way, so you're permitted to take the pen, the pencil. It's not muktzeh, it's only tiltal klisha malach de leiser. So you permit it to move it out of the way, letzorach makom, it's in the way. But mechama letzel not, let's say you're afraid, someone is afraid that a nachri is going to come and steal the hammer. So that's not letzorach gufo, that's not letzorach makom, that's to protect it. Mechama letzel, to protect, you shouldn't get ruined by the sun, it shouldn't be stolen. So that's not sufficient tzorach to be mater, klisha malach de leisa. And then there's a Rabbeinu Tam shita, which the Ramah quotes here. Rabbi Natan is in Tosis, but it's very unclear. I don't know how Rav Soloveitchik figured it out. But after he said it, so then we looked in the Ozarua, and we found the Ozarua spells it out explicitly. Rabbi Natan Shita seems to be that if you have a klisha kol malach delis, you see a pen and a pencil, rov hishtamshus of the hammer and the screwdriver and the pen and the pencil, rov malach delis, but mi malach deleheter. I know in advance that a lot of times I use the screwdriver or the hammer to crack open a nut or to open up a jar or something like that. Or I use the pen and the pencil to keep the place in the Gemara as a pointer, not to write with it. What if you have a kli that's called malach talis? The whole ishtamshit that it has is always to do a malacha with it. So the rabbeinu tamshit is that becomes muktzah mamish. Most of the Rishonim disagree. So the Ramah quotes this. The Ramah quotes this in Siman Shin Ches. Where is it? Page Sid Dalet. I wrote it down. Shimon Shincha Sid Dalet. The Ramo at the end. He says about tefillin. Tefillin, the Ramo Paskins, is no. It's a different Ramo. No, it's not Sifchas. It's a different one. Where is this Ramo? By Kol Malach Dalei Yisrael. I forgot what it is. It's over here somewhere. The Ramo first starts off by saying, if you have a kli, shekol malach, maybe it's in Shin Yud. I thought I wrote it down. Ramo says, if you have a kli, shekol malach, yeah. It's in Shin Yud, Sif Zion. Sin Shin Yud is also Tiltal Mukti. So the Ramo first starts off by saying, like the Rabbi Natan, that if you have, let's say, a kli, you should call Malach the Liyisr, then it's Mukta Mamish. And then a line later he says, but you're permitted, Mihu, that's Okufa, that's Okmakamai, you're allowed to handle it. So the Magan Avram asks the Kasha, what is he talking about? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magan Avram, what is he talking about? He just said that call Malach the Liyisr is Mukta Mamish. So if it's Mukta Mamish, you're not committed to handle it, even the Tzok Buhu, the Tzok Mekayma. That's only a Kula if it's a Kli. Kli Shemalach Dali Yisa. And Nisa Tot Hakem, but if it's a Nisa Mukta, then even the Tzok Buhu, the Tzok Mekayma, you're not allowed to move it. Let's say you have money on the table, and the money is in the way. Or let's say I want to use the coin in order to open up a soda bottle. I don't have a bottle opener, so I don't have an instrument to open a bottle. So sometimes you want to take a quarter to open a bottle. You're not allowed to, because money is mukta mamish. Mukta mamish is not allowed to move. Let's talk for the talk mekayma. Let's say you have a pile of money on the table, and you want to put the plates on the table. You want to eat over here. You want to put svarim down here, and the cash is in the way. You're not allowed to take off the money from the table. Not allowed to move the not the talk for not the talk mekayma, because money is mukta mamish. And you're not allowed to handle it. So this is the kasha that we mentioned last week from the Netziv. The Gemara in Bamei Madlikin says, Daban Melech died on Shabbos, and Shlomo Melech has to shaila, Avi Muta Bechama, what should he do? So he said, Kikrei Tinek. And then the Gemara says in Kufman Beisam, and a few times in Perikiro, also other places, we pasken against that one opinion, that we pasken, Kikrei Tinek is only a kula in Mace. The Amma Kikka, because of Kovar Ameis, that's all. But other kinds of Mukta, it's not Din of Kikratin. But then there's a Gemara that says that the whole institution of Tiltal Kalim, you're not allowed to handle the screwdriver, the knife, the pen, the pencil, and so on. The Men Nechemir Ben Chakaya Nishnish, that was the beginning of the Baishenit Kufa. The Van Melech was centuries before. Isn't that a contradiction? So we suggested maybe the two different Zeris. Maybe the Zera that existed right in the days of David HaMelech was the Yisra of Mukta. That's Mochomer. Even the Tzokuf, the Tzokuf, you're not allowed to. And the Yisra Tiltal Kalim, that's Klisha Malach Talisa, Klisha Malach Talata, they are Kalim. If it's a Kli, by definition, it can't be Mukta, because Mukta is pattern. We said, called the Tikkun Abanakam, the Rashi Tikkun, pattern after the Dinam of Kabbalah Stuma. So the four categories of things that are mekabel tuma or the mekele mochem mashkim. So whatever is a kli, by definition, can't be mukta. Mukta and something that's mukta machmas gufa, it's my mana be offer. It's not one of the four things. So maybe that would be the teretz. So the Netziv doesn't say that teretz. He doesn't say why not. He doesn't say that teretz. He thinks the teretz is that they instituted the gzera already before the times of the death of David HaMelech, and then it turns out that it wasn't accepted by the tzibur. When you ever make a gzera, it has to be gzera shereva tzibi yichalim lamed, and the tzibur has to accept it. And if they don't accept it, so it falls apart by itself. So they were chayzer, they were gozer it again a second time in the days of Nechemid ben Chakaya, because they saw that you need chizuk, because the people were not observing Shabbos properly. So they repeated the gzera, and then it took root, and then the tzibur did accept it. What was wrong with my teretz? Why didn't the tzibur say my teretz? I was thinking, here in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Ches, take a look, Sif Hey. Yesh Matirin L'Talt of Klisha Malach Dali Yisra, Afin Mecham Alatzel, Aydei Kikar Aytinek. Even though a Klisha Malach Dali Yisra, you're not allowed to handle Mecham Alatzel, you're only allowed to move it, let's all goof, let's all goof, let's all goof, by Mechamel Etzel, you're not allowed to. But if you put a kikre tinik, then you are allowed to. I think Mar said the Feirish, Omer kikre tinik ela lemeis bilvad. It's only a special kula because of kavod abrius. So where they get this idea from? This is machlokes of Rishonim. I think it's the Tshuvas Harash. Where did he get this idea from? That Harash b'Tshuva. There, Agarla says. Where did he get that idea? So you got it from the Gemara. Let's say you have a soup pot that you cook soup in. So you have a frying pan and a pot that you cook food in. Frying pan. So that's a klisha malach d'liyase. A klisha malach d'liyase. You're not allowed to handle it. It's all good for the tzarch makan. Fine. But let's say you serve the soup, and now the soup pot is half full and half empty. So we take the soup and we put it back into the refrigerator. So the Gemara says it's mutter to handle a soup pot. So the question is why, but it's not letzorach gufa letzorach mekayma. The soup pot is a klisha malach d'liyaser. So how come you're allowed to handle it? So the Rosh answers, because since it still has food in it, so that's the hetera kikaratina. I think Mar says, Lomer kikaratina kala la meis bilvad, it's only a special heter because of kavod abrius, kavod ameis. But if it's not the meis, then there's no heter kikaratina. So the Rosh understands that's when you're dealing with muktzah mamish, real muktzah, esim avon of the offer, a meis is muktzah mamish, so then kikaratina is only a heter by mace, not by other kinds of muktzah. But here you're not dealing with muktzah, you're just dealing with klisha malach d'liyaser, that's a much lighter isa. So if it's only klisha malach d'liyaser, then kikre tinik is always a hatta. So it seems that the Rosh understood the kula that he told Shlomo HaMelech, that put a kikre tinik on David HaMelech's dead body, and then you can move it, and it's only lemeis, it's not by any other form of muktzah, only by mace. So where did they conjure up, where did they get this kula from? From outer space? The answer is no. In the days of David HaMelech, they had the Issa Tiltal Muktzah, and they had the Issa of Klisha Malach D'Liyaser. And by Klisha Malach D'Liyaser, there was always a kula of Kikaret Tinek. But it only, we'll have to explain why, but it only applies by Klisha Tiltal Kalim. It doesn't apply by Muktzah. So because of Kavod Abrius, because of Kavod Ames, they took the kula that existed already in the days of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, they took the kula that was only intended for mace, only intended for klisha malach d'liyaser, because of kavod abrius, they applied it also to mace. But if the heter of kikaret tinik doesn't even apply at all, that doesn't exist by anywhere, so where they pull out the heter kikaret tinik from thin air? Where do they take it and apply it to the mace? So the answer is no. The heter was there was always a din of klisha malach d'liyaser, and that iser always had a kula of kikaret tinek. And by muktzah mamish, those kulas don't apply. But they made an exception to the rule by meis because of kavod ameis, kavod abrius. We'll take the kula. They really only make sense by a pen and a pencil and a hammer and a screwdriver kikaret tinek. So we'll apply it to meis also. But at least the kula exists on the books. Yeah, why should it be a difference between klisha malach d'liyaser and muktzah mamish? So Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. Take a look in here. The Shulchan Aruch has these dinim. But you have the din of klisha malach d'liyaser. Let's say, by mistake, you left here. Siv Gimel. Sim Shincha Siv Gimel. The person, by mistake, left the screwdriver and the hammer on the table. And they want to serve dinner. But they can't put the plates down because it's going to spill. Or they have guests and they're embarrassed that they have the pens and pencils on the table with the screwdriver, with the hammer and everything. But Tzorchan Koma, you want to get it out of the way. So you're allowed to move it, let's all go for the tzachim kama. So let's say the shed where I keep all of the tools, normally the hammer and the screwdriver belong in the shed. That's a few rooms down the hall. And over here I take it off of the table in the dining room. So do I have to, the moment I take it off the table, I have to drop it on the floor right away? But he say, no, you're permitted. Once you're permitted to take it off of the table, let's all go for the tzachim kama. You have a head to handle it. So it doesn't make the Isser of Tiltal Klisha Malach D'Liyaser worse if you carry it another four rooms down the hall and you put it in the shed where it belongs. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Gimel. Once you have a heter to carry something, letzar gufa, letzar mekaymai, muta lalita misham, v'anicha be'ezem makam sheyirtze. That's a Tosfos in the first parak in Beitza. Tosfos proves that from the Gemara. The Farshi Gemara is like that. Once you have a heter to carry, to handle a klisha malach taliyisa, so you don't have to drop it the first available opportunity. You took it off of the table, you don't have to put it on the floor right away. You can walk, you didn't put it down, so keep on holding on to it and put it all away in the shed where it belongs. That's what it says here. That's a Tosfos proves it from the Gemara. But if you look at, so if you look in Reish Samach Vov, that's the Hilchas Erev Shabbos, there's a Ramah there in the end of Reish Samach Vov Sif Yud Beis. Sif Yud Beis, and Reish Samach Vov Sif Yud Beis. So the Ramah says, a person is walking around by mistake on Erev Shabbos. He's walking around with money in his pocket and money in his hand. And he didn't realize, let's say his watch stopped, and he thinks it's still Erev Shabbos. Then they say, what are you walking around? It's already Shabbos. You have to put away the money. So the Ramah says, since he's already carrying, handling the money, so he may as well walk four rooms down and put the money in the drawer where it belongs. You don't tell him to drop it right now. Just like by Kalisha Malach Dali Isser, it's mutter to handle it, letzach gufa, letzach mekam, but he doesn't have to drop it the second he takes it off of the kitchen dining room table. He can walk four rooms down. It's one long tiltel orach, it's one long tiltel. So the same is true regarding mutter. That's what the Ramah writes. So you look there, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Bir Hagra and the Derech HaChaim Siddur disagree strongly with the Ramah. They say it's wrong. This kula, one long tiltel orach, is mutter, that only applies to klisha malach d'lis, it does not apply to muktza mamish. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, this seems to be the same din as kikar etinak. He coined an expression, a tiltel kofel, it's a double tiltel. When I take the screwdriver or the hammer off the table, then I, so that's the tzok ufa, the tzok mekam. I had a heter for that. After I have it in my hand, I took it off of the table, there's no longer tzok ufa, tzok mekam. So why don't I put it on the floor right now? Answer is, it's one long tiltel, since I had a heter for part of the tiltel, so I have a heter for the rest of the tiltel also. But by Muktza Mamish, the Derech HaChaim Siddur with the Bir Hagra, they say by Muktza Mamish, that's not a heter. It's not just in this tiltel Muktza, they said one long tiltel. You're not adding any more Issa. You have to see to it that muktzah should not be moved on Shabbos. Every inch that you keep on moving the muktzah is an added issa. So that's perhaps the same as kikaretina. Kikaretina is also a tiltel kofel. It's a double tiltel. I have a heta to handle the kikaretina, but I have no heta to handle the klisha malach d'liyissa. So kikaretina by klisha malach d'liyissa is mutter because it's one big tiltel on the kikaretinoik and on the hammer, one big tiltel. So since I have a heter on part of it, I have a heter on all. It's one big tiltel. So kikaretinoik is similar to one tiltel oruch. I'm going to carry it off the table, and then I'm going to take it off the table because torch l'makom, and then I'm going to put four rooms down, put it in the shed. So it's one long tiltel. So since part of the tiltel had a heter, so the whole tiltel is mutter. So that's similar. That if you have a tiltel kofel, you're carrying two things. One has a heter, one has an iser, or it's a long tiltel. You have a heter for part of the tiltel. You don't have a heter for the other. So it's one big tiltel. So by klisha malach d'liyissa, you mekel, but by muktzah mamish, you're not mekel. So that's what the Gemara says. Already in the days of David HaMelech, it seems they had both dinim. They had the din of muktzah, they had the din of klisha malach d'liyissa, and they had the heter of kikar etinak for klisha malach d'liyissa. And it cannot carry over to Muktzah Mamish because Muktzah is Machomer. Muktzah may not be handled at all. Not all day tiltel kofu kikuratinik, not all day tiltel oruch. But Mishum Le, Liyomra Le Meis Bilbat, by Meis they were Mekel, they took the Kula from Klisha Malach Deliyisir, and they applied it to the Meis. So that seems to be why the Netziv understood that the both Dinim already existed in the days of David HaMelech. Because otherwise, where'd they get the kikuratinik from? Kikaratinik should only be Meis Bilvat from outer space. Why? No. Heter Kikaratinik always existed by Klisha Malach D'liyissa. but it doesn't fit in to Tiltal Mukse, because it's similar to the Tiltal Oruch. So only by Mace, then they were Mekel. Here the Shulchan Aruch says that these Gzeir, the Gzeir of Tiltal Kelim, is only instituted on Kelim. Let's say you have Oichlim, or you have Kisvei HaKodesh, Svarim, that you're permitted to learn on Shabbos, then there's no prohibition. You can handle it even Shalom Litzarech Klal. Oichlim and Kisvei HaKodesh, they never made any Gzeir at all. So here the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shulti Gidbarim, has a Chiddush. Shulti Gidbarim is on the side of the Rif. So the Shulti Gibarim has a Chiddush. The Isak Tiltal, not like Rav Soloveitch. He didn't think it was right. Rav Soloveitch thought that you're not allowed to play with the spoon and the fork and a glass on the table if the person is fidgeting and just has nothing better to do and is nervous. So he's playing with the utensils on the table. Rav Soloveitch thought that that's considered Tiltal, Kulishim Alach, the Lal Heter, Shalom Litzarek Klal, you're not allowed to. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shulti Gibarma says, the Gzeiras Kalim was never made on Kalim Ketanim on the table. It was made on big knives, but on little knives and forks and spoons that you put, plates that you put on the table you eat with. He said, that's like Kisvei HaKodesh and Oichlim, that there never was an Gzeira at all, and it's even mutter to handle it, Shalom Litzarech Klal. Yeah. Yeah, what's the story with Kol Malach Talis? What's the Rabbi Natan has his Chiddush? There's a kli shemalach teleheter that you have three kulas. You're not allowed to handle it shalom litzarech klal, but you're permitted to handle it the tzarkuf litzarech mekam o mechama litzel to protect it, to see that it shouldn't get ruined. Then there's a din kli shemalach telis, if rov malach telis, but we know it's miut malach teleheter. Sometimes you use, a lot of times I use a screwdriver or a hammer to open up a jaw. So that's kli shemalach telis, sir. So you have two kulas. You're not allowed to handle it. What if it's called Malach Talisa? So Rabbi Natan has a whole pshat in the Gemara. The Ozarua says this Beferish. Has his whole pshat. And we just found it. The Ramot quoted it in Shin Yud. We looked it up before. So first he quotes Rabbi Natan, called Malach Talisa is Mukta Mamish. And then he backs out to Achid Edibus. The Magen Avraham says it doesn't make sense. If you all like the Rabbi Natan, most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rabbi Natan. But if you all like the Rabbein and Tam, so it's not mutter to move it even the Tzalk Gufa, the Tzalk Mekoyma. So that's a question. So Rab Soloveitchik thought that you should be machmer on this. I think they quote the Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky also said like that. The Rab Moshe Feinstein didn't hold like that. He seems to hold even Kol Malach Talisa is not mutter, so like the Ramos conclusion. You only treat it like a Klisha Malach Talisa. You don't treat it like a, you don't say, there is no new category. Kol Malach Talisa is Mukta Mamish. The Rabbi Natan didn't say that, though. That's the Ramah seems to have presented it like that. So that's a discussion in the Ramah and in our Siman, Shin Ches. What's his story with Tfilin? Let's say in the Beis Medrash, they left Tfilin on a table, or they left Tfilin on a chair. And then it comes, I remember once on Rosh Hashanah, I was davening in Yeshiva. So they needed every seat, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, every seat is taken by his men. So some chacham left his tefillin on a chair, on a seat. And then as everybody started coming in, they davened mincha early. Then when it came time for Ma'ariv, the whole Beis Medrash was packed. They needed every seat. So there was a pair of tefillin on the chair. So one of the sons of one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva, as a little kid, he was before Bar Mitzvah, so he picked up the tefillin and said, I know it's mukta, but I'm going to handle it anyway. So he took it away, and he put it away somewhere. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, is it really mukta? So the Ramah says that tefillin is a klisha malachta leheter. You're permitted to handle it. Letzor gufa, letzor mekoma, mechama letzel, but shelo letzor klal, you're not allowed to handle it. Where is that? Where is that Ramah? We just had it before. Here, that's the Shin Ches, the end of Sif Dalet. The tefillin ain't the taltalam keim the tzorech. You're permitted to move it. It's klisha malach teleheter. Even though we pass on Shabbos v'yantav lavzman tefillin, so Tosis writes on the last, the first parak in Beta ends on an amar aleph. So the Tosis shows from the Gemara there that tefillin are not mukta. The Gemara is that you're not mukhiv. Tosis writes even if you hold Shabbos v'yantav lavzman tefillin, you don't put on tefillin Shabbos. It means you're not obligated to put on tefillin. But if you want to, you may. Tosfos says it in the Maharam, on the bottom of the Mashua, points it out that that's what Tosfos said before. So that's what the Ramah says, that tefillin is a klusha malachta lehet. If you want to, you may put on the tefillin. So it has the three heterim, tzorkuch, letzorch, and koimai, nechama letzil. So the Taz has a comment on this Ramah, in Shin Chesif Dalet. Taz says, but according to the Zohar, that the Mechaber quoted in Hilchas Tefillin, then a Shabbos a Yontif, it's a bizoyant to Shabbos, and it's a bizoyant to Yontif to put on Tefillin. They're not allowed to. It's against the Bavli. The Bavli is the Beferish, the last daf, and the first perik in Beitz ends on Amin Aleph. So it's the last Amud in the first perik is the Beferish and the Amar. The Tefillin is not Muktzan Yontif. That Shabbos a Yontif, Lav's Man Tefillin, does mean that it's an Iser. It means that you're not Mechuyif to put on Tefillin. But if you want to, you may. But according to the Zohar, that it's prohibited, it's not an Isser for Malacha. It's an Isser, it's a Bizoyim to Shabbos, as if the reason why you're not Chayiv to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yantik, because Shabbos itself is a noise. Kshatim Laos al Yadecha, you only have to put on tefillin when you need a noise. But Yotze Shabbos, Yom Tem Shein Guf a noise, Shabbos Yantik is a noise, so you don't need the additional ois of tefillin. So there's room to things up with the Taz, but the Taz and the Magarama, they both say, according to what the Mechaber quoted in the Hilchas Tefillin, that based on the Zohar, it's a bizoyin to Shabbos Yontif to put on tefillin, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yontif, then the tefillin should be a klisha malach talis. So there's room to dings up with the Taz. You can say, no, the only time something is a klisha malach talis, sir, if it's an isa because of malacha, but it's an isa because of a bizoyin to Shabbos, that's a zaitig isa. But that's what the Taz and the Magen Avraham say. So then Rav Soloveitchik added on, this was a rare case. Rav Soloveitchik rarely ever quoted anything from his uncle, Rav Elvela. He used to say other things from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And then when he found out that Rav Elvela said the same, he said, I heard it from my father, Koyde Matan Torah. Because the Talmidim of Rav Elvela made it as if the Torah began with Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav. He used to say he heard it from his father, Koyde Matan Torah, before Rav Elvela came on the scene. His father, apparently, was much older than Rav Elvela, quite a few years older. So this is one of the rare occasions that he quoted something from Rav Elvela. So he said, his uncle made a comment, if you really hold, like the Taz's argument, that tefillin should be considered a klisha malach tali isser, so if you put two and two together, if you put this together with the Rabbeinu Tam, and he thought that that we should be machmer for that Rabbeinu Tam, that if you have a klisha kol malach tali isser, then it's mukta mamish, so you never use tefillin for any other purpose. You never use tefillin to keep the place. You never use tefillin to prop up a sefer or something. You only use tefillin to do the mitzvah of tefillin. So since the whole hishamshus of tefillin is only to wear the tefillin, and you all like the Zohar, that you're not allowed to, and the Taz says that makes it into a klisha malach d'liyisr, then it should be considered kol malach d'liyisr. So he tainted, if the Taz is right, then you shouldn't be allowed to handle the tefillin, even the tzokuf or the tzokuf and kodma, because it should be considered like a klisha kol malach d'liyisr, then it's mukta mamish. Here in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Ches, the Simon Shin Ches. So we had last Friday night, I said, one of the fancy glasses smashed on the table, and the broken glass was there. So it's permissible to pick up the broken glass because of a chashash hezek. Someone's going to get hurt. So you don't need hezek harabim, you just need a chashash, someone's going to get hurt, to prevent someone from getting hurt. But then the Shulchan Aruch has a heter. He's quoting a Gemara. If there's a chashash hezek harabim here in Sif Yud Ches, it's a Gemara. Kotz amunach b'shus harabim. There are thorns, and a lot of people are going to walk by in the middle of the street in the b'shus harabim, not on a private home, where they're only a small family. He's in the b'shus harabim. A lot of people are going to walk by. So there's a chashash hezek harabim. So because of the chashash hezek harabim, that's what the Mechaber says. He ends off Sif Yud Ches mishum lechashinim. Shema yizok barab, mokam hezek adarab, legoze barabonon shvus. So the Achronim asked, you just said before, if there's Hashash Hezek, you don't need Hezek Arabim. Why over here do you need Hezek Arabim? So the Achronim explained, no, you need Hashash Hezek Arabim, because here we allow you to carry it in a Carmelis more than Dalaramis, to carry the Kotzim, or to carry it in the Mishus Arabim, Pochas mi Dalaramis. I'll carry the Kotzim three Amas and I'll put it down, then I'll pick it up, carry another three Amas, put it down. If you're just talking about handling Kotzim, Mokzim.
I heard you, I'm home.
So Tilta Muktzeh, the only problem is Tilta Muktzeh. Are we okay? So if the only problem is Tilta Muktzeh, then you don't need a Chashash Hezik Arabim. If there's a Chashash Hezik to anybody, Chashash Hezik for B'makam Chayla. So B'makam Chayla, we're Mekala and all Exeris. So Tilta Muktzeh is Mutta, B'makam Chayla. Morgan Abram has a case. Let's say they called, the Goyish doctor came for a patient, a Jewish patient, and he says he needs some medication. So there's an Erev in the city, and I want to go to the drugstore, but I need a prescription from the doctor. So it's a Goyish doctor. So he wants to write out a prescription, but he doesn't have a pen. So he says, the Goyish doctor tells the father of the patient, give me a pen and I'll write out. So I tell him, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm not allowed to handle the pens on Shabbos. I'm sorry. Please come over here and pick up the pen. The child is sick. So I think I can always consider like a chol shem b'sakana, because the baby's going to cry. Chol shem b'sakana means a person can't function normally. So little babies, if they don't feel well, they're going to cry a whole day. So that's called a chol shem b'sakana. By an adult, it's called chol shem b'sakana. If he's mutal l'mishka, chol kol gufa, he loses his appetite. He can't function normally. And little children, if they have a slight little pain, right away they can't function normally. So amir l'nachri would be mutal b'makam tzorche atinak. Because Torah Atina considered like Chol Hashem B'sakon. So let's say, so I'll tell the doctor, I'm an Orthodox Jew, I can't handle a pen. So he says, go fly a kite, goodbye. He's going to walk out of the door. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Issa V'Heter by the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, not by the Rabbeinu Yonah Asfardi. So the Issa V'Heter says, that Tilton Mukta is Mutta B'makam Chol Hashem B'sakon. Just like Amir Eliakim is Mutta, because Amir Eliakim is only a Gzeira. So Tilton Mukta is a Gzeira. So we are allowed to handle a pen to the doctor, Goyish doctor, that he should write out the prescription. And that's Amir Eliakim, to ask him to write a prescription. Then I'll go to the drugstore, and I'll buy it. So Mekech HaMemke is also only a Gzeira Shem Yechtov. So we allow all the Gzeiras, if there's an Erev, so you're not violating carrying. So if you're only dealing with Tilton Mukta, the glass broke on Shabbos, and someone may cut their hand, you don't need Hezek Arabim. Hezek Ayochid is also a matir because Tilton Mukta is only Exer. But here in Sif Yud Ches, in addition to being Kotsim Mukta Mamash, piece of junk, you're going to carry Pachas Midalam. It's going to carry the 3 amas and put it down. Pick it up, move 3 amas, put it down. Pick it up, move 3 amas, pick it and put it down. So if they carry Pachas Midalamas, that's Exera Derabana. That's an Issa Derabana. That's a Xera Hamura. That's a Xera Hamura Midirabana. So, or to carry in a Carmelist. They have the Kotzim in the middle of the street. So, if it's a Hashash Mozik, Mokam Hezek Arabim, not only do we allow Tilton Mukta if it's a Hashash Hezek for anybody. That's like a Chayla. The Hashash, he may become a Chayla. But Mokam Chayla, we allow Amir and Nachri, not only if he already is a Chayla, to prevent him from becoming a Chayla, also we allow. That's what it said in Shulchan Aruch when they put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison because they wanted to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. Then the Maharam Rutenberg said, they're not allowed to give the money. They should let him die in prison. And he did. Then he said, they're not allowed to ransom my body even after I die. That they didn't listen. The Balabas did pay the money. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the story. When he was sitting in prison, the Talmidim came every day to learn with him. They allowed it. When it would be chilly, they would make a fire. When it would come on Shabbos and it would be chilly, they would ask the guards to please make a fire that they shouldn't catch a cold. Why is that muter as Amir l'Nachri to do a malach on Shabbos? They say, HaKol Cholim Eitzel Hatzino. Anyone can get sick. If it's cold, you can catch a cold and you'll be sick. So not only if the person already is a Cholim, She'ein Bo Sakone, do we allow Amir l'Nachri to prevent one from becoming a Cholim, She'ein Bo Sakone. Also it's muter. Some Achranim, Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Gilyani Ashas quotes in one place, a few Achranim say, B'makam Chayle, we allow Amir Eliakim, that's only all the coolest of Chayle, that's only if he already is a Chayle, but to prevent him from becoming a Chayle. But we don't accept that Chumrah. We assume all the Gzeres Amutta to prevent one from becoming a Chayle. So if you're afraid someone's going to cut himself, you don't need Hazeka the Rabbin. We allow all the Gzeres Amutta. Amir Eliakim is Mutter. And Tilta Mukta is Mutter, and to play music, the Gemara has the case, let's say the person is a Chayla, he doesn't feel well, and we know he needs a lot of sleep. If he'll fall asleep, he'll get better. We think he'll probably get better, but he has insomnia, he can't fall asleep. So we want to know, are we permitted to play soft music to put him to sleep? So the Gemara says in the end of there, the last paragraph, you're permitted to play music on Shabbos. The Jew is going to play music on Shabbos to put the harlot to sleep, because playing music is only a gzeres shami yisakim klei shir. So we allow all gzeres on Shabbos and Yom, we allow all gzeres b'makom harlot shem yisakon. Or let's say to take medication. We don't allow, there's an issue, you're not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos and Yom because of the gzeres shami yishachik samamonik. He may get so carried away with the fact that someone is not well, someone is sick, so he may grind up the herbs in order to make their medication. So that's a malach of tochen. Shem yishachik samamonik. So refuah is usher. It's not a malacha, even with the rabban. It's a gzeret, shem yishachi. You can't say when he pops the pill in his mouth, he's in violation of tochein. He's not doing tchina, it's a gzeret shema. Whatever, it's a gzeret shema. You're not allowed to climb on a tree because he may break off a branch. You're going to say, whoever climbs on a tree is over on kotzer. Yeah, can you say, it's not even by the stretch of the imagination, it's not kotz. It's a gzeret shema yikta. So whenever it's a gzeret, so all the gzeres we have now, so if it's only tiltil muktzah, we allow it, you don't need hazeka the rabbin. But here, the guy's going to carry all the kotzim in the street in the karmelis. So tiltil in the karmelis, that's mochomer, that's like hoitzah. But to carry pachas, medalanamas, that's taka only a gzera. But this says in Arabic, for another purpose, that's a gzera chamura. Because if he won't stop in between, that'll be mamash, mavidalanamas, bushuzaram. So since you're dealing with a mochomer, it's not a gzera kala, it's a gzera chamura. So then it's only mutam b'makam hazeka derabim. B'makam chashash hazeka derabim. The goes rabbon will make leave on that. Yeah. When do we allow tiltal mukta? So one is b'makam hazek, chashash hazek, we allow tiltal mukta. Then the Gemara has a kula, the Shulchan Aruch has a gerib shalvei. Let's say a diaper the baby. So the baby has a dirty diaper. So the dirt in the diaper, that's mukta machmas gufay. That's not etzim. That's like etzim abanam yaf. It's a piece of junk. So that's mukta mamish. But nonetheless, you're permitted. I diaper the baby on the bed, so I'm going to leave the dirty diaper on the bed because I have to go sleep in a different bed. I have to put the baby somewhere else. So the answer is whenever there's a gerb shalvei, something that's very annoying, they allow you to remove it. And even if you have to pick up the tzoya with your own hands, it's also muta. It's also muta. Gerev Shalvei is not only muta to carry the tzoya and the rei in a kli, even if you're carrying your hands, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, that even that is permissible. Let's say you have to milk the cows on Shabbos. So milking cows is an iser. You're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim. What iser is it? So we usually assume that it's disha, that the cow is oichel, oichel, and then you're milking the cow, so you're separating the milk from the cow, like squeezing out the juice from the grapes, squeeze out the grape juice, disha. There have been in Tam holds that it's boirer, others hold that it's tochen. Different sheet is what it is. Different sheet is what it is, but it's usher. Some Rishonim hold that milking a cow is only the Rabbanim. We'll have to talk about that, about milking cows. So it's an issue to milk a cow. But there's Tzav Bali Chai. If you don't milk the cow is going to have great pain. So the din is, if you milk the cow on top of, in the milk, the cholub is hadach le'ibud, then it's only an issue to Rabbanim. So b'mokam Tzav Bali Chayim, we're mekel on the malacha, even though it's a Malachish and Tzvich Leguf, you should have been awesome in the Rabbanon, so we're Nekel. But the question is, what about the Tiltal Mukta? So that's the answer. It's not Tiltal Goma, it's only Tiltal Bemukta, Bemiktas. If I pick up an animal, and if I pick up the whole cow and I put it over here, that's Tiltal Gomor. If I just hold on to the others and I milk it, that's Tiltal Bemiktas. The Tiltal Mukta Bemiktas is Osir. The Ran on the Rif points it out. There's a Mishnah in the very end of Shabbos, the 24th prok in the Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos, the Mishnah has the minig is that before the Chevek Kaddisha bury someone, they close the eyes. After a person dies, you close the eyes. It's not covered on ace to bury him with the eyes open. So it says in the Mishnah, Ein matzina meinim shal meis. You're not allowed to close the eyes on Shabbos. Why? Because the meis is mukta. Kozman is alive. That's not mukta. Once he dies, the dead body is a piece of junk, so you're not allowed to move it. So not only are you not allowed to move the mace from one location to the other, you're not allowed to even close the eyes. So you see that even tiltal mukta, the mitzas, is also prohibited. The body is not going anywhere. The body is in the same place where it was before. Just closing the eyelids is awesome. But over here, to milk the cow, to remove the tzar balachaim, so we allow tiltal mukta v'miktas. What else are we matir? In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have toilet paper. So the Gemara has, they used to use little pebbles. So the little pebbles are mukta. That's etzma bona yafa. Avone ma mukta. So the Gemara says, if you are mazman the pebbles in advance to use it for the Beis HaKisei, so then if you're mazman it, so that can take off the isa mukta. Let's say you are not mazman it in advance. But the person doesn't want to have a smelly body. So mishum kovar abriyas, we allow tiltal mukta. Let's say he wants to be in a mokum tzanua. They didn't have toilets either. He wants to be in a mokum tzanua when he's going to be isa tzarochem. So he has to carry the pebbles in a karmelis. So they're not going to be in a real mishum sarab deraisa. So to carry in a karmelis is only awesome with the rabbanon. So mishum kovar abriyas, he doesn't want to be embarrassed to have a smelly body. So we allow him to handle pebbles that are mukta. We allow him to carry the pebbles in a karmelis, mishum kavar abiyas. We matter all the rabbanim. You make on all of the rabbanim. So you make on tilta mukta. You make on tilta the karmelis as well. So these are some of the coolest that you have regarding mukta. Okay. Believe me, next week we'll have to continue. There's a lot more in mukta. Okay. Very good.
Rav Shechter, if I'm running late for Shabbos and it's Bein HaShemashah, so I know that we said previously that in the Karmelis I'm allowed to carry because it's a Gzeira Kala. I also know that...
Maka Mitzvah, yeah. Kol Dov Yishem Shvus Le'goz Rol Bein HaShemashah. So we allow Tiltal and a Karmelis, the Gemara says, if there's a mokum mitzvah, a great tzorach mokum mitzvah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm allowed to ask the bus driver to stop because Amir al-Akum is also during Bein HaShemashah's mother. But what about if I have a muktza, I'm carrying muktza, is that also okay during Bein HaShemashah's?
I think it would be mutta, yeah, if there's a great tzorach gadol. It has to be a great tzorach or a tzorach mitzvah, yeah. I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Mekalan, we have to divide between Gzera Chamura and Gzera Kala. We only make along Gzera Kala. Gzera Chamura, that's what Taisus says in Erev and have a rife. And the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch quotes that La Locha. And that Simon, called Davishim Mishim Shusa, Gozwa Lebein Hashmashis, doesn't apply to all Gzeras. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Taisus that Amir Aliakim is Mutta Bein Hashmashis. Mishkan is Yankiv is not happy with that. He thinks that we should be Machmer on that. Every so often, the Mishnah Berurah does quote a Mishnah saying, this one he does not quote. This one he leaves. But, so the Shulchan Aruch leaves it. That Amir Lakum is also Mutta, Bein HaShemashah, if it's Letzorach Godel or Letzorach Mitzvah. Yeah. Okay, very good. Everyone should be helped.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you,
Eric. Yashikum. Oh.